Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you as always. You're going to be glad you're hanging out with me because we got Rob Jollis back on the show. Rob's one of the top salesmanship experts on the planet. If you want to know how to get closer to your customers and get them to love you dearly and be fanatics about doing business with you, then you need to hear what Rob Jollis has to say. Rob is and I have one thing we have in common for sure, besides we actually have several, but one of the things is we both work for Xerox in a former life. He's the author of a number of outstanding books, including the new one, Sales Techniques for a New World Economy, which he calls Customer-Centered Selling. And he's our good friend Robert L. Jollis. Welcome back to the show.
Great to be back. We also like to talk a lot, and I will say this. I think we like the same movies, but that was the Bridge Over the River Kwai coming in, wasn't it?
There you go. How about
right.
that? Good for you. Well done.
Thank you.
But now we do, and now you know when you we have quite a bit of things in common. One of those things is knowing that without any doubt that nothing happens till somebody makes a sale. And you know, I even go one step further, Rob. I tell people that Wall Street. The reason why it upsets me that we seem to have our priorities upside down here in this country, you know, everybody seems to be so enamored with Wall Street. Nothing. Wall Street is a derivative of Main Street, Rob. In my opinion, nothing happens on Wall Street until some schmuck on Main Street makes a sale. What do you think?
Well, I've never quite articulated it that way, but I think I'm with you on that one. I know one thing. You know, we don't have to blame it on 2009 or 2008 or 2010. Fact is, people still fear change, and people still need to be sold.
Yeah.
And if anything, and I'm a guy who looks at the glass half full, I think we're getting back to our roots a little bit and realizing that doctors are very important. They make us well, and lawyers are important. They help us interpret the law, and salespeople are important because they help people overcome change.
Yeah.
That's what we have to do.
But, Rob, here's the thing that I've been saying, and I keep repeating myself because I want to make sure people get this into their head because I think this is the case, and that is that where we're going is going to look a lot different from where we've been. Now, you could say, well, Blasingame, that's like it's been like that every year of humanity. But I really think where we're going in the future is going to look more than any other time in my lifetime a lot different from where we've been. And one of those things is this. Customers are now in control. When you and I were selling with Xerox, Rob, we were our customers' internet. We brought them information they didn't have. There's not too much information that a salesperson can bring a customer today that they didn't either already have or couldn't have gotten without them. And so that's the reason why I think the relationship is going to be a bigger deal in the future than closing, than marketing, than advertising. What do you think?
I think you're right. You know, it was either me or Einstein, and I'm pretty sure it was Einstein who said imagination is more important than knowledge.
Right.
Maybe this is doing us all a little favor in realizing that I don't think it was the knowledge to begin with. I think it was the ability to create trust
mm-hmm.
and to create urgency and to earn the right to talk to a client about a solution. But to go in there and pitch a product, thank goodness for the internet. Now we can get away from that and realize that I hate the word pitch, but if we're pitching anything, we're pitching a relationship.
Well, yeah, and I like the way you said that. I think that's a really good point. Thank goodness for the internet, because now we don't have to spend as much time educating. We can spend more time building the relationship.
Sure.
I like that. And you know, the one of the things that Xerox taught me, Robin, and probably you too, that I use every day, and that's the concept of conceptual selling. Selling conceptually, meaning, you know, talking about ideas, that imagination you were talking about a minute ago, that's not changing.
No. And you know, it's funny, that is one thing, Jim, that you and I share a deep connection to, and that is having some sort of system or process. There's more than one, but having something that's repeatable and predictable and measurable. And I can't tell you how many times to this day that I'll come off the stage of a keynote and someone will come up and go to their wallet and pull out an old, tattered, and torn laminated card that says PSS from 1970, whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
And here they are carrying something around for 30 years to help them. And I can't help but smile and say, hooray, we won that one.
That's right. Some things never change. Stand by, a quick break. Right back after these messages with our good friend Rob Jalous. The book is called Customer-Centered Selling. This is a re-release, folks, of his number one bestseller. Stay with us, 22. Right back.
Say what you see, fit, but don't ask me why. Love never seems to last you. When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see.
That's Ben E. King there, ladies and gentlemen, from the Wayback Machine. 17 till, I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for using it to your advantage. You got 5 seconds, 15 minutes, or anything in between on any topic under the Small Business Sun. We got something right there that will help you. Smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Robert L. Jalous, ladies and gentlemen. Rob is our good friend, the author of Customer-Centered Selling. Rob is and I are talking about how we're going to go after customers, how we're going to grow our sales revenue coming up in 2000 as we move into 2010. You know, Rob, that's the problem right now for everybody. Basically, big companies are having an issue with this. Small companies are having an issue with this. How do we grow our top line? I mean, we kind of have got our operating expenses to the point where we can survive on less sales. Otherwise, we wouldn't be around. We would have already locked up doors like a lot of people have. But we need to grow the top line so we can grow that gross profit and hopefully put a little on the bottom line. How do we do that?
Well, you know, and here comes the process piece. So I'm glad you're asking. You know, it's funny. In the past, to me, it would be, well, gee, that's easy, Jim. We have to, you know, create trust, and then we'll create urgency, and everybody's going to feel good. But let's add a new step to this right off the bat. We have to diffuse emotion before we can even get at trust to create urgency.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say that, I mean it's not just the financial industry. Many of us are in a position now when we approach our clients where the clients aren't very happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually learned this when I was in my 20s. I worked with a national flood insurance program, and I helped about 200 of our customer service reps who were helping people go through floods, a horrific event. And what they wanted to do was get at policy numbers, basically get at the information so they could help the client. Well, you can't get at the information because when the client's angry and they keep saying, you've lost, look at all this money I've lost in my 401k, and you go, great, now I need your policy number. All it's going to do is the volume's going to keep increasing.
Right.
What I learned to do is, and I encourage your listeners to do is, let's, before we get at the open probes and before we get at really the building blocks of trust, let's diffuse that emotion by the skill of acknowledging. And that doesn't mean, yes, I know, I lost a lot of money for you, or, gee, I'm sorry. Matter of fact, I'm working on an article with something, I don't have a title, but I think it'll be, sorry seems to be the saddest word and the most useless word.
Yeah.
Because sorry doesn't work. It works well with our spouses, it works well with our children, but it rarely did we actually personally lose that money, or did we actually, whatever we're apologizing for, were we personally responsible for. So sorry doesn't make anybody happy. What makes
or when you're not responsible for any of that,
right,
and it's just a customer saying, you know, we're having a tough year just like you are.
Yeah, gee, sorry.
Yeah,
it just rings hollow.
Mm-hmm.
The skill of acknowledging sounds more like this. Gee, Jim, I can understand your frustration. It's been a difficult year. And basically, pare it back. Let the client know, I'm listening to you, and I understand. And what that does is it calms everybody down a little bit, particularly when this difficult year is a result of something they feel you've done. And again, I'm speaking to the banks and the wirehouses, a lot of the financial companies. I've got three different guys handling my business. And yes, I'm angry. I don't know if I'm really angry at them. I'm angry at the world. I'm angry at what happened. And I need my broker or my financial planner not to tell me how sorry they are. I need them to say, Rob, I understand how frustrated you are. You worked decades to prepare, and this has happened. Now, here's where we have to go next. In other words, ease in. Earn the right to get at what you need from me. But could you just spend a moment and tell me that you're listening,
well,
that you understand?
Right. And another thing, and this is, to me, this is a great opportunity to use a similar situation close, or where you could say something like, you know, yep, I know what you mean, and you know, we're seeing this ourselves in other places, but I'd like to talk a little bit, if it's okay, I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the things. We've been thinking about this, and we've got some ideas on, and we've been helping some other people. Would you like to hear about how we're doing that?
Sure.
It's a little bit of a block, a little bit of a block and bridge.
Right. Rather than we've helped other people, would you like to hear about it, let's start with that acknowledging of I understand what you're saying.
Right.
And I can see how frustrating that must be. You spent decades planning. In other words, let's take some of that language, and the client says, yes, exactly. Okay, and now, Jim, let's put in your words. But that's what I mean in terms of we're going to need those words up front before we get at the trust words, before we get at any of it.
Right.
And that's a new edition of 2009-2010. Again, a nice new tactic it's teaching us.
Right, absolutely. Well, and of course, 2010, at some point in time, you know, we're going to run into people who, especially if we're not in the financial industry, we're going to run into people who aren't going to be talking about, you know, 2008, 2009. They're already moving on to 2010, and things are starting to pick up a little bit, but they still may not be ready to do business with you.
Well, that's where the selling's going to come in.
Yeah.
That's where I noticed, like Pavlov's dog, as soon as I talked about diffusing that emotion, it naturally went into your mind of that gives us an opportunity to sell.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly.
But one comes before the other.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to get at. We don't need to obsess on closing techniques right now. We need to obsess on those, back to that trusted business advisor technique.
But since the customer is now in control, they can buy everything that we sell 1,000 other places, or at least 100 other places. The relationship has got to be the deal, right?
Yep, they can't buy us. And I learned that at 21 years wholesaling for New York Life, when one of the older agents put his arm around me and said, Joel's, they can buy a policy from the cab driver, but they can't buy you.
That's right. Hold on to that thought. Right back after these messages with our good friend Rob Jollis. I'm Jim Blassingame. Tintel, stay with us.
It seems so good to see you back again. How long has it been?
We're back at 7 till. Little Stones bringing us back, that little garage band from England, rocking us back in with you. 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Rob Jollis is our guest. Robert L. Jollis is the name on the number one best-selling book, Customer Centered Selling. Also, The Way of the Road Warrior. Also, Mental Agility. On and on the list, and the stack of books is high. He's our good friend and one of the top salesmanship experts on the planet. Rob, tell us how we can find you.
www.jolles.com. Love to hear from you.
And so check that out, folks. And they can find your books there. They can find your writing. All that's there. And except for the books, everything else is free. And, of course, if they'd like to have you come and work with their organization, you work something out with them, won't you?
That's what I do.
Yeah.
Work with small companies, medium, large. And sometimes we just have a conversation on the phone and make sure everybody's on the right path. So
good deal.
It's a pleasure.
I appreciate that. And by the way, Rob, next March will be your 10th anniversary with me. Did you know that?
I knew I was feeling smarter.
Coming up in March of 2010, 10th anniversary, we'll have to get you back. Obviously, you'll be back probably before, but by then we'll make sure we have that celebration. Hey, Rob, we're talking about what's going to be new about 2010 forward? What's going to be different about the relationship? You and I, how many times in this show in the last 10 years almost, Rob, have we said the product of the month won't get it? And you've got to be able to talk to your customers about ideas, or what did you use a minute ago? Imagination, about imagining doing business with you. Whatever we've said in the past about that, Rob, put it on steroids for the future, right?
Yeah, And I'll tell you one thing. The reason why I really do feel good about Simon & Schuster re-releasing the Customer Center selling book and allowing me to adjust it, which we did for this economy, I really think more than ever, a lot of people, of course, they'll obsess on the closing techniques, and a lot of them are obsessed on the trust piece in terms of, okay, asking the open questions and getting people to talk. But now we've got somebody who feels better and who's talking, and we're laying off the closing techniques. But I tell you, never before have we needed the more difficult questions, the questions that create urgency, than we need them now. People are sitting on the sidelines waiting. I don't know whether they're waiting to get hit on the head by a coconut,
yeah,
but they're waiting. And this is where you whistle, and a salesman needs to come down that fire pole and say, guess what? I understand you have issues. Today we're not fixing them. We're not going to talk about solutions. Today I'm going to do what I should have done the first time I met you. We're going to problem solve, and we're going to ask why, and we're going to study that problem. Today we're going to fix it. We're not going to just pitch it. That's really where I think we need to go for 2010 more than ever.
Well, and you've got to, but that's going to require salespeople to think about their customers and not think think about what they have to sell less.
Absolutely, and here's the irony. This is not easy. It's much more difficult to ask second and third level questions about the issue, about some of the struggles that Jim is having with the radio and what he's trying to do to alleviate that,
mm-hmm,
and what effect it's having on his audience and how that impacts his business on this side. Because if I do that with Jim Blasingame, today we'll make a decision for change, as opposed to me picking up the phone and telling Jim six things I think he should do.
Right, exactly.
It doesn't work that way, and thank goodness you and I learned that
We were saying this, and I was taught this over 30 years ago, and it was valid then. And this thing that Rob just said, folks, this is something that's gotten more valid and more imperative every year, and it's going to be the way we'll do business in the future.
Absolutely, and that's why you see the companion book, Mental Agility, which I don't teach a whole lot more sales tactics. All I'm trying to tell people is, now that we know what we need to do, that's the good news. The bad news is you will need to think quicker on your feet. It can't be written out for you. You can't go in with second and third level questions. I have to wait to hear how Jim answers my first question. So I need to think quicker on my feet, almost like an improvisational actor. I need to think quickly so I can ask more questions.
Here's the thing. Imagine this, and this is where I think things are and are going, Rob. More and more, we're going to walk into a customer's office, and they're going to say, I already know all about your product. Where do we go from here?
Yep.
And you're going to say, oh, wait a minute. The first 15 minutes of my speech, he's taken that away from me. I how do I get into this? You're going to have to plug in at a much higher level of conversation, aren't you?
Yes, you're going to need to go in there with a blank pad of paper and a pen and a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Let's not forget, Jim, that the more the client talks, the more they like us.
Always.
So like I said, everybody's doing us a favor by pulling us off those solutions and that product and forcing us to work a little harder. But, boy, the value of this, you're going to see sales jump if you can engage that client. And not just about what's working, but the challenges.
Well
the
said.
Obstacles and the barriers. That's where you need to drive that conversation.
Got to wrap it up, Rob. Thanks for being here. Good job, as always.
Always a pleasure. I want my green jacket for my 10-year anniversary.
You got it, Rob Jolliss, ladies and gentlemen. Quick break. After the news, I'll be back. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.